This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, the Odyssey app. I appreciate you listening. Some of you are still at work like I am. Some of you are off today but just wanted some playoff conversation. I want to let you know that from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate you. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day to you and yours. All right, this is our plan. Coming up in 15 minutes, we will play our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. He and I had a very productive Zoom earlier today. I will play the audio from that for you coming up in just a little bit. We'll talk about the Chiefs game. We'll also give you our thoughts and opinions on Super Wild Card Weekend. But before we do that, we've got some breaking news. The breaking news is Raiders general manager Mike Mayock has been informed that he will not be retained. Source tells Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. John Gruden stepped down in October, as you know, and Mike Mayock is now let go as the general manager of the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders are going to be a very interesting case study to me this offseason. They are now looking for a general manager. They're deciding if they want to promote their interim head coach, Rich Bisaccia, to full-time head coach. I think they're going to make a pretty big play for Jim Harbaugh. We'll see if he takes the offer and takes the job. The Raiders are in like a really weird spot as an organization. Just wanted to get you guys the latest news in the National Football League. Mike Mayock told that we will no longer be needing your services. I imagine he will go back to NFL Network. I don't think he's going to get another job as a general manager. He was not very good as a general manager in the National Football League. Again, coming up in 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of your Kansas City Chiefs. But until then, let's talk about last night's game between the Chiefs and the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll get to the hits and the other games here coming up in a little bit. But I want to play some audio from you guys that we had last week because I was being called all kind of names. I was being called cocky dot, confident dot. I was being told that I was being disrespectful to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was being told that I was too arrogant. How could I not understand the playoff history that the Kansas City Chiefs have, that some of you had playoff PTSD? There was one call that really set this up, that really embodied this mindset that I heard over the course of the week. Maybe you guys were listening. It was our guy, Bob.
Well, I've been waiting for a long time to get in here and say something for several years because I get tired of listening to all this nonsense. There's no way we should be throwing fresh meat to the Steelers to fire them up. I am ashamed of the way this radio station talks about the Steelers. It's ridiculous.
So that was Bob in the week. I'm not going to spend this time patting myself on the back. That's probably what you guys are expecting me to do. But I do want to just share one message with you. You don't have to be afraid of the playoffs anymore. You want to know why? Because on your side, you have one of the greatest players in the history of the National Football League playing at the highest level of any quarterback in the history of the National Football League. In a quarterback league, you have the quarterback. So I'm not interested in talking about the Lynn Elliott years. I'm not interested in talking about the Steve Bono and Elvis Gerback and what might have happened to Trent Green. That has nothing to do with Patrick Mahomes. You know what the commonality is between all of those quarterbacks? They typically went up against a quarterback that is better than the one you have. Mahomes has only lost a playoff game to one quarterback. You want to know who? Tom Brady. One of the few people who, by the time he's done, is going to be ahead of him on the all-time list of quarterback greats. So you don't have to be afraid of playoff games anymore against Ben Roethlisberger. He's not good enough to scare you. You don't have to fake show humility or respect for Ben Roethlisberger and his noodle arm and his 3 point yards per attempt or the 1.7 yards per play that the Steelers had in the first half or the 18 yards passing. You don't have to show that respect anymore to him because he's not worth it. You don't have to show that level of fear anymore to players like Ben Roethlisberger because you've moved past that. You've got that guy on your team. Remember Therese used to always talk about like John Wick mode? You know? How he would talk about how Mahomes could just walk into any situation and he could just outgun everybody. Well, that guy's on your team. I felt so confident in this matchup between these two teams is teams who have quarterbacks like Pittsburgh do not advance in the playoffs against teams like Kansas City. Maybe if they had got a different draw, they could have won the game. Maybe they could have won if they had got Tennessee. You know, maybe they could have advanced in a different situation against a different two seed. But Pittsburgh was going on the road against an offense that is playing their best football of the year. A quarterback who just threw for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. A tight end who has had 100 yards receiving in his last 4 playoff games. A top 3 wide receiver, and it seems like a running back factory now at this point. There ain't reason to be afraid anymore. So next season when we do this again, because I'll be here, Rob will be here, hopefully you'll be here. Let's not do this again next year if they're playing a team like Pittsburgh. Let's save the concern for this week. They're going up against a top 5 quarterback in the National Football League. They're going up against an offense that is as powerful and as potent as the one that you have. Now we can talk about being scared. Now we can talk about how that quarterback matches up against yours and how that offense matches up against your defense. But I just didn't have it in me to do that to the Pittsburgh Steelers because they ain't good enough to do it. Pittsburgh played about as well defensively as they could in the first half of the game. They forced a turnover. They forced another turnover and scored. T.J. Watt had got a sack. He had a tackle for a loss. I thought Pittsburgh defense played really well in the first half. They looked up and they were down 21-7 and Kansas City was getting the ball. It was over at that point. When Kansas City scored that touchdown right before halftime, it was, hey, son, go take a bath. It's bedtime. It was time to turn it off and watch a movie with the lady or catch up on a show. It was over at that point. Pittsburgh's offense gave you no reason to believe that they could generate enough offense against Kansas City to win. So I'm just saying all this to tell you, you don't have to live in fear of the past anymore. Sure, the Chiefs are going to lose playoff games to Patrick Mahomes. That's kind of the way the playoffs is set up. Only one team is going to win all their playoff games. But you're not losing in the playoffs to Patrick Mahomes to a quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger or quarterbacks of his kind. And there's no reason to think otherwise. Rob, let's get to the hits before we catch up with Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go.
Rob, you know what? I want to take over hit number one. First, you do the sponsor. I'll take hit number one.
I'm going to say, before you take it over, the hits are brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio repair since 1967.
There was a lesson this week in the National Football League. There was a lesson. You know what the lesson was? If your team is openly deficient at quarterback or head coach, you ain't advancing. That's what the message was. It wasn't just in Kansas City that that was the case.
It was the Philadelphia game. Now, I did think that Philadelphia could be squirrely enough and Jalen Hurts could do just enough to keep them in it. Boy, was I wrong. No, he's not good enough. They got blown out from the word go. That game, never competitive. In Kansas City, game was never competitive. I don't care that Kansas City was down 7-0. That game was never in doubt. Pittsburgh was never competitive. At no point in that game was I worried or concerned or felt like Pittsburgh had a realistic chance of winning. The Cowboys are deficient at head coach. I don't care how much talent they are. Their coach can't count. And if your coach doesn't understand basic math or clock management, your team's not advancing very far in the playoffs. The only time Mike McCarthy could advance in the playoffs is when he maybe had the best quarterback in the world. I mean, like, ever. 2011 Aaron Rodgers is maybe as good as any quarterback has ever been in the history of the National Football League. That was the only time that Mike McCarthy has been able to advance. And Aaron Rodgers was so great, he could overcome the incompetence of Mike McCarthy in the playoffs. If your team is openly deficient at quarterback, or your coach doesn't have an understanding of analytics or how to run the clock, you do not have a chance of advancing in the playoffs. It's really that simple. Look at the teams that advanced. Look at the teams that don't. As great as New England is, if you only have one scenario that you can win, that everything has to fall right and you got to run the ball and you got to bank on holding teams to under 17 points, you're probably not advancing in the postseason. If your quarterback can't count or doesn't understand basic math, your team's probably not advancing, the Dallas Cowboys. If your quarterback struggles with the forward pass the way that Pittsburgh and Philadelphia's quarterbacks do, you're probably not advancing in the postseason. That's the message we should take away from Super Wild Card Weekend, is that you got to improve in those two areas.
Two.
Well, we'll use hit number two to circle back to the Chiefs game for a minute, Carrington. As the Chiefs, as you said, blew out the Pittsburgh Steelers, were you impressed with the fact that Chiefs have found a specific role for all their weapons at the perfect time?
I will give them this. You can fade the music down here. I'm not going to say cut the beat, but you can fade it down. We got Mahomes coming up in 2 minutes. I will give the Chiefs a lot of credit for this. I think they've figured out the roles they have for their wide receiver. Now, at the end of the season, I will still be in the front of the line saying that they can't do this again next year, regardless of what happens the rest of the season, and that they need to improve at the wide receiver position. But they've figured out Byron Pringle's best role on this team. He's their third down, move the chain kind of guy. On a 3rd and 7, they trust him. A 3rd and 8, they trust him. All his catches were either first downs or 2 touchdowns in the game. And the touchdown play that he ran against Joe Hayden, he made Joe Hayden look foolish. Like, crossed him over, Allen Iverson, Kyrie Irving style. He looked foolish. Mecole Hardman, they were trying to make him wide receiver number two. He's not wide receiver number two. But he can be a productive, yards after the catch, scat back, game-changing, flip-the-field kind of player if you get him the football in space and move out of the way. DeMarcus Robinson, throw it to him a couple times. Now, you got to throw it to him past the sticks because he's going to run back by the sticks if it's close, but they throw it to him a couple of times. They have a system right now with the running backs that's basically interchangeable, next man up. This offense has figured it out. This offense right now is operating at its optimum peak, I believe. That now it comes down to, in any given week, do they execute? Do they drop passes? Do they tip the ball in the air? Do they do the things that can lose you football games? But at this point, we can go through their roster, and I can tell you exactly how many targets they'll get or how many times they'll be used on Sunday's game. I can tell you how many times they'll run it. I can tell you how many times Mahomes is going to throw it. We've seen this team enough to have a really good feel for what they are offensively, and it comes down to if they're going to execute. I believe that Sunday's game is between two teams that are fairly even. You can flip a coin, and I think Kansas City would win 5 times, and I think Buffalo would win 5 times. I think they are two fairly even teams. That it sounds super cliche, but it really comes down to who executes on Sunday. If Josh Allen plays at a Josh Allen level, they can come on the road and win this game. If Josh Allen, who is a fairly inconsistent player, plays at that level, then they're going to get beat. It's going to be a really fun game, and I think that Sunday's game has a chance to be the best game we've seen this postseason. We got a lot of time to talk about that, but Rob, hit it.
He's a Super Bowl champion and NFL MVP.
Mahomes throws for the end zone, the pass caught, wide open, touchdown, Kansas City.
And there's only one place in Kansas City.
Mahomes guns it long for the end zone, wide open, touchdown, Kansas City.
And the only one place in the country.
That's what's great about the NFL, you keep building and trying to play your best football going into the playoffs and trying to get to the Super Bowl.
That talks with Patrick Mahomes every week. And that's right here on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Our conversations with the quarterback are powered by Google Fiber. We started our conversation with Patrick asking, has he ever caught a touchdown pass in a game?
I don't know if I've ever, maybe like freshman year when I of football in high school, I play a little bit of receiver. We had two pretty good quarterbacks on the team. So that was probably the last time I actually caught a touchdown pass.
So let's say that Kelsey went against coach's wishes and actually threw you the ball. What happens? Is it like he runs a mile? Is he doing up downs? Like, what happens if he actually throws you the ball?
I think it was just if he threw me the ball, he would never get another chance to make another throw. So I think he was pretty locked in there on Pringle. I don't know if y'all remember a few years back when he threw the ball back across the field and threw the interception versus the Giants. I think that was kind of almost the last straw on him having quarterback privileges.
Yeah, I actually remember that play, and that's why I was thinking it takes a long time to get out of the doghouse sometimes.
Oh, 100%. And I mean, that was the thing on that play. There was no option to throw it across the field. And of course, he thought he was back at Cincinnati making his quarterback read. So this week we told him he had one option. If it wasn't there, just run it.
So if he throws it to you, are you actually catching this thing?
Oh, I'm going to catch it for sure. I'm going to make the play. Even wherever he puts it, I'll make a play on it.
Right now we're talking to Patrick Mahomes. So let's talk about the game on a more big picture sense. Obviously, you guys get off to the slow start, and in the second half, it was a blitzkrieg bop, some would say. What changed? What spark got you guys going in that second quarter?
I think it was just we had a different energy once we messed it up and we had the fumble that we got returned for a touchdown. We realized that we can't mess around. If we let these guys hang around, they're one of the best teams in the league at finishing off football games. And so we kind of had that different energy knowing that we had been messing it up. The defense was playing their tail off. And once we got it rolling, we kept the energy going.
It's funny you say that because right when the fumble return happened and then you guys go down the field and score, I tweeted out, it was like you guys needed to see your own blood to kind of wake up and get things going. And when you think about it, that fumble was really the spark of what got you guys going. You scored, I believe, 35 points unanswered after that.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. I mean, we knew that. We kind of were putting ourselves in a tight spot there. Obviously, we don't want to start like that. I mean, you never want to start like that in the playoffs especially. But the guys responded well, and you always like to see that whenever we're dealing with a little adversity early in the game, the guys kind of come together and get that thing rolling.
You and I have had this talk enough over the last couple of years as we've done these interviews. How do you guys start faster? Because I think you would agree, if you guys start like that against Buffalo, it could be a very different outcome.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think we've done a great job this year of starting off fast, of having those great starting drives, and then we kind of fizzle out later in the game. So I think we have it in us, but it's going to take a full game of great football. We're not going to be able to start slow and come back and do all that different type of stuff that we usually do when you're playing a team of this caliber. So for us, we'll have a good mindset, a good game plan going in, and knowing we need to execute early.
Sometimes the NFL just allows you a window into those special moments, and you were there, Ben Roethlisberger is there, you're hugging each other, and you could sense that sense of mutual respect for one another. What was it like to be in that moment?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely cool. I mean, just to be on that field with an all-time great, I mean, it looks like maybe his last season, and to be there for that last game, I mean, it's going to be a moment I'll remember forever because I have so much respect for that guy and the way he competes and the way he plays. I mean, truly, like I said, an all-time great that will forever be remembered in the NFL.
So at least the audio captured, it sounds like you guys were talking about exchanging jerseys. How does that work? Because I think fans only see whenever you do it on television and, you know, you take your jersey off, they take theirs, and, you know, we get to see the picture for Instagram. What is it like for you to switch a jersey with the player?
Yeah, so I think I told him on the audio. I said I don't want that. I didn't want to take that last one from him, but I just said I want a jersey that he had in his career, and he said the same with me. And usually for me, I usually just send it to the facility or the address of the guy's house. I don't trade him on the field, and we kind of exchange it that way.
Right now, we're talking to Patrick Mahomes here, talking about the win over the Pittsburgh Steelers and looking ahead to next Sunday night's game against the Buffalo Bills. Let's talk about the offense here. You and I have had enough of these conversations that every week, somebody just steps up for the offense. You might not know who it's going to be on Wednesday or Thursday, but Jerick McKinnon, who a guy who's been injured, maybe hasn't gotten the opportunities that he thought he was going to get whenever he signed, he had a big day for you guys yesterday.
Yeah, and I mean, we knew he had that juice. We knew he was going to make plays happen in this offense. You could see it from training camp. Obviously, the season hasn't gone exactly how maybe he thought it was going to go early with the injuries and everything like that. But I knew once he got in that lineup that he was going to make plays happen. So when we had guys dinged up this week, I had no hesitation of having Jed out there and let him go out there and make plays happen, and that's what he did.
He reminds me a lot of Damian Williams. You guys had him a couple of years ago, obviously, the year you guys won the Super Bowl. Do you like that comparison? Does that comparison make sense to you?
It does, honestly. I mean, they both have a lot of burst and a lot of stuff like that, and they both run very tough. And obviously, they both can catch the ball well out of the backfield. Yeah, when you have those guys that are fast and can make big plays, explosive plays, but also run tough between the tackles, those are usually great football players to have.
One of my really good friends is a Broncos fan, and whenever Jerick McKinnon catches that touchdown, he texted me and said, how do the Chiefs run this play every single week and then the rest of the league can't figure it out? Let me ask you that question. You guys run that play like 7 to 10 times a year and it always works. How does it work so well?
Yeah, well, I mean, we dress it up nice. And then that play, how we ran it, we ran it off of a play that we were very successful with as well. So we have a lot of different options down there. And I think that's just kind of the icing on the cake with a little shovel pass to them. So it's a thing where, I mean, obviously that we have so many different things that we do it down in the red zone, especially that it's hard for defenses to account for all of them.
I know you can't play basketball anymore, but that was an elite head fake. Like, you really sold the head fake underneath shovel. That was a great play from you.
Yeah, I mean, it was that's a good player in 90. I think I threw an interception early in the game just to set that play up. So he got the hands on the ball early, so I gave him a little pump fake there and then threw the underhand underneath it.
You've got a chance to go up against some great defensive players. Where does TJ Watt rank against guys you've gone up against?
I mean, he's up there. I mean, he's at the very top of it. I mean, he's a great football player. He's smart. I mean, he's obviously physically gifted. They got some great football players on that defense just in general. Cam Hayward's another one. Mika Fitzpatrick, they have a lot of playmakers on that defense.
Right now we're talking to Patrick Mahomes here, recapping the Steelers game, also taking a look ahead. I don't know if you've seen the numbers, but Travis Kelce over the last 4 to 5 playoff games has been absolutely unstoppable, and yesterday was no different. It's not even much of a question. Just wanted you to talk about the greatness of Travis Kelce, because every week he just does something miraculous.
Yeah, I mean, he's a special football player. I mean, the way he's able to not only go out there and beat man-to-man coverage, but read zone coverage and get himself and others open. I mean, it's a truly a talented player that really understands how to play the game of football. And, I mean, he's sneaky athletic. People forget how athletic he is until he's running down the sideline past people.
This was your first wild card game. As you know, the NFL switched the format from when you and I grew up watching it. How did you like it? How did you like your first super wild card weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely cool to go out there and get the win, especially in front of the home crowd. It's all about just advancing now. I mean, we have a lot of great teams still left. I mean, obviously starting off with the Buffalo Bills, so it's about finding a way to just win this week and move on to the next.
I think this has game of the playoff-like possibility. Think about how you guys played in your last game. Think about how Buffalo played on Saturday night against the New England Patriots. You guys back and forth. I believe this is the fourth time you guys have played in like 17 months. Do you feel like you guys are starting a rivalry against the Bills?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a sense of it. They have a great football players over there, and obviously starting off with Josh. And you know he's going to be there for a long time. In Buffalo. So, I mean, I'm sure we'll play a lot of games against each other, and they're going to have great football teams with great coaches. So it's going to be a lot of different games against each other, and I'm excited for it.
How many times are you going to watch the first time you two guys played this year?
I'll watch it a couple times. I mean, I'll watch that one. I'll watch, like you said, the other two games that we played against them in this last year pretty much, and try to get a sense of what they were trying to do and the different adjustments they've made in each and every game. I'll try to get a sense of what they're going to do against us this time. So they have a lot of good football players on that defense, on that entire team. So it'll be a great challenge for us, but I'm excited for it.
You always talk about execution. I think back to the first time that you guys played each other. I feel like that's really what it was. You guys had two interceptions in the red zone on some kind of fluky type plays. There was a controversial rough in the passer call that I thought it was a bad call. To me, this game with you two fairly evenly matched teams, it comes down to who executes the best.
Yeah, for sure. When you get to this time of the playoffs, it's all about who executes the best, who limits the turnovers, who goes out there and makes the big plays happen in big moments. Everybody's pretty much evenly matched. So it's about who goes out there and makes the big plays happen at the right moments of each and every game.
That's the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today. All of his appearances are brought to you by Google Fiber. Patrick, man, always good talking to you, man. Good luck this week.
Appreciate you, man.
That's the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today. We'll step aside and react to what Patrick had to say. We're recapping Chiefs and Steelers on Super Wild Card Weekend right here on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
I want to play for you guys the breaking news. Mike Mayock fired as the general manager of the Las Vegas Raiders. Here's Ian Rappaport.
A major change for the Las Vegas Raiders. They have just a couple minutes ago informed general manager Mike Mayock that he is no longer working for the team. Mayock was fired after 3 years running the personnel department for the Las Vegas Raiders. And sure, there was some success leading them to the playoffs, but of course, there were misses as well. There was the Cleveland Farrell first round draft pick. His first clearly did not work out. Of course, Henry Ruggs, another first rounder, had a serious legal issue going on earlier in the year and was eventually released. Damon Arnett also released. Alex Leatherwood drafted him as a tackle, now as a guard. There were free agent misses as well. The Trent Brown signing clearly did not work out for the Raiders. Antonio Brown trade as well. So Mike Mayock, after 3 years as the Las Vegas Raiders general manager, now officially out.
The Raiders making a change at general manager. Mike Mayock is out. We'll see if they'll make a change at head coach. I could see them promoting Rich Bisaccia to be the full-time head coach. Really depends on if Harbaugh wants to leave Michigan and take that job. If not, I think they're going to continue to run with Rich Bisaccia to be their head coach. Obviously, keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. We'll give you the latest on all of that. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get to the extra point and my feeling on Super Wild Card Weekend as it is coming to a close, because the NFL to me has made a bad gamble. I'll explain what I mean, but let's go back to talking about this game. As much as I believe this game to be about the greatness that is Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce and their passing attack, I also think it's about the rushing game that we've seen from the Kansas City Chiefs and what the plan is going to be moving forward. As of today, I don't know if they have a traditional number one running back. Like, I don't think that person exists on this team. So you got to ask yourself, heading into the most important game that they'll have up to this point, for a team that runs the ball on average around 25 times a game, who's going to get the lion's share of those touches and opportunities? I believe that person to be Jerick McKinnon. I think they're going to ride the hot hand. So I looked this up because I was curious. Rob, this season, Darrell Williams had 191 touches. Now, that's not a whole lot in a running back sense, but for a guy who has been a second and third string running back, this is three times more than he has ever gotten in his entire life. He was a backup at LSU. He's been a backup so far in the National Football League. His body isn't really used to taking the pounding of a full NFL season. He's battling injuries a little bit. Nothing wrong with that. That happens over the course of a long season, the way the Chiefs are currently going through. Jerick McKinnon had 25 touches in the regular season. He looks a little sharper, a little more fresh, a little bit more spry, and I do think the Chiefs are going to ride the hot hand from now until the end of the season. If you want to maybe bring our bet back that we had toward the end of the season, when I took Darrell Williams as number two wide receiver when it came to the targets and lost, and I paid you out. Rob, can you come on here and say that I paid you out?
You paid me out.
Okay, thank you. I just want that out there.
Had my Chick-fil-A, ate it. It was all good.
Okay. I'd be willing to bet on Jerick McKinnon now. I'd be willing to bet that at some point Clyde comes back, but they still defer to McKinnon, that Darrell Williams will be back and they'll continue to defer to Jerick McKinnon. Moving forward, that he's their number one running back, that Andy's going to ride the hot hand, and that McKinnon does enough of the things that they need to be productive in this offense. We asked Mitch Holtz this about the theory of riding the hot hand at running back. Here's what Mitch said.
Yeah, I know where you're going, because there's a thesis out there that once the playoffs start, he picks a guy and that's what you do. So, I mean, based on last night, that would be McKinnon, but who knows if Clyde's up and Clyde can do it. But McKinnon showed a burst last night. Not just on those screens, but on the runs. They ran those counter runs. There was a lot of counters in there, like one-step counter. Offensive line did a great job, too. We got to mention those guys because that's a good front. Obviously, we talked about the Steelers before, led the league in sacks. But the way McKinnon had a burst at the next fraction of a second, let's say even on those counters, once he put his foot in the ground, left, turning back right, boom, he hit it. And he hit it with perfect timing and quickness. So there was a lot to like in that game about Jerick McKinnon, not just the screens.
I liked Jerick McKinnon when they made the pickup. Now, Rob, you've been here. In the middle part of the season, who was I saying, hey, I would like to see a little bit more of? It was Jerick McKinnon. Last week, when we said what could potentially be the postseason wrinkle, there's always this wrinkle. We talk about Andy saving some things for the postseason. What could be the wrinkle? Now, one side of it could be touchdown passes from Travis Kelce. I don't know if that's a wrinkle as much as just having a little fun running a trick play. But the last 2 weeks of the season, they have relied on Jerick McKinnon, and he has made the most out of their opportunities. So moving forward, I could see them using him in a lot of the same ways that they used Damian Williams a couple of years ago. There's not a one-to-one comparison. The body type's a little bit different, but the usage, I think, is there. He had 12 carries in this game and 6 catches. We're going to run it a little bit. We're going to throw it to him a little bit. We're going to utilize the screen game that we do so well, and that's going to be our running game, and that's how we use the running game. I think that works. This team is probably never going to be the 3rd-and-2, turn around and run the ball or run it 25 times, or maybe they're never going to run it as much as fans would like for them to run it. But when they got a healthy one of these backs, I think they can muster up productivity from the running back position. I want to continue to see more Jerick McKinnon, and I don't want to see him put back into the box once Darrell Williams gets back and or Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Everything you're saying is correct. You were on Jerick McKinnon early, and Jerick McKinnon is the obvious hot hand. The thing that I don't want to say worry about and concerned about is Jerick McKinnon has basically only played 2 games this season in the NFL. I know he's been active a few times, but they haven't really used him the same way they used him here. So as the NFL and smart teams like Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott get more tape on Jerick McKinnon on how he's used the Chiefs, can they adjust to how he's being used and make the hot hand thing disappear? Because if they do, the Chiefs are going to need another body to rise up a running back. That's why running back's a depth position. No one talks about just having Walter Payton anymore. You have to have 2 or 3 guys because eventually a defense will take one away. So if the Bills are able to take Jerick McKinnon away, I'd love to see Darrell Williams used a little bit. Derek Gore used a little bit. Maybe if Edwards-Helaire is healthy, he used a little bit. I don't think the Chiefs should ever be reliant on one running back, and that includes Jerick McKinnon, because one running back is too easy to take away, and the Chiefs don't need a singular running back to make this offense go.
Text line 913-576-7610. So can we all agree that Clyde was a miss in the draft? Yeah. But I think we've known that for a while. I would say that the evidence continues to stack up in your point, Rob, that are you better off using that first round pick in a different way and then signing Jerick McKinnon in free agency? You've got Darrell Williams, you find another running back, and that be your running back position. I think that's what the argument is now. But at this point, you can't go back and undraft Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You need to figure out what he can do in this offense, what his best role is, what best suits him moving forward, and figure out a way to use him. That's what you've done with Mecole Hardman. You've figured out what Mecole Hardman's good at, and Mitch said it earlier, and I 100% agree with him. Hardman has his confidence back. There was that spot in the middle of the season where it was really uncertain what the plan is moving forward for Mecole Hardman. They figured that out. He's going to touch the ball 4 to 6 times. They're going to get it to him in ways that he feels comfortable with and ways that he can use his speed and athleticism, and they figured out a way to make it work. So I think all of us, or most of us, certainly agree that Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a miss with where he was selected in the draft. But I still will contend that he's a productive player, can help you moving forward, and that you should use him. And that if he comes back between now and the end of the season, there's a role for him in your offense, and you got to figure out the best way to do it. And if there's anybody I would trust to figure that out, I trust Andy Reid to figure it out. Coming up on the other side, I'll give you my extra point as we get you ready for tonight's Monday Night Football game between the Arizona Cardinals and the Los Angeles Rams. That's next. Keep it locked in. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
Text line 913-576-7610. The extra point today is going to be sometimes more is not better. And what I think happens when we discuss the National Football League is we only discuss the television ratings, and as long as it rates well, that means it was a good idea. Well, the NFL could get us to watch anything. They could get us to watch anything. At this point, we're hooked. They could put NFL games on every day of the week. They could make it a 20-game regular season. They could make every team eligible for the playoffs, and the television ratings are going to be there. So it's not a conversation on whether or not people will watch it on television. It's how does it affect the competitive balance of the National Football League? That's at least my conversation. I can't speak for anybody else. Adding the 7 teams to the playoffs has not improved the competition level. It's watered it down. It made the playoffs worse. Yesterday was worse because of adding the 7th place teams. Pittsburgh shouldn't have been there. That was obvious. And Philadelphia shouldn't have been there. Those should be 2 teams that were sitting at the house. They're not playoff teams. In fact, they're bad teams. And you have them going up against 2 teams that are legitimate Super Bowl contending teams in Tampa Bay and Kansas City. It was a waste of everyone's time. I'm sure it was great for the television partners. I'm sure it was great for gambling. I'm sure it was great for DraftKings, and maybe that's all that matters. I ain't making no money off any of that. I care about the competition. I want to see good games, evenly matched games, entertaining, exciting. And that ain't what these 2-7 games are. They're one team pummeling another team. And that's what happened in Kansas City. That's what happened in Tampa Bay. And my hypothesis is this will continue to happen as we continue to have these 2-7 games. They don't care. They're not going to listen to me. They're not going to go back in time and fix it. They're not going to admit that they made a mistake. That's not what they're going to do. But we know that the team the Chiefs played yesterday shouldn't have been in the playoffs. Yesterday should have been an off day. You should have been able to spend a little bit more time with your family or do whatever you wanted to do, but no. We were all wrapped around the television watching the game in which we all knew the outcome of the game, Rob. That's my extra point. That we've sold this idea that more football is better, and sometimes that just ain't the case. More football is not better when it comes to the super wild card weekend and these 2-7 games because these 7 seeds stink.
I remember when they announced this, I had the very, at the time, unpopular opinion that this was stupid because, for better or worse, I'm a soccer snob. I love the value of the regular season. I hate that American sports keep devaluing the regular season by adding more and more playoff teams and rewarding mediocrity on the idea that here comes Cinderella. Let's see what they can do. Cinderella loses more times than not. And let's have a harsh reality conversation here. People don't actually like Cinderella. They like it for 1 week and then they're done. They're over it. We know that from the NCAA tournament. East Tennessee State gets a 4-13 win. Everyone's excited on Saturday to talk about it happened. By Sunday, you know what they want? They want Illinois to win so that you get a good 1-5 matchup. You don't want to see Eastern Tennessee State go get boat raced in the next round. No one wants that. So I don't like the NFL did this. But I also have the opinion that I'm a minority. I know that people aren't like me. They consume playoff sports at a much higher rate, and they love their playoffs. So congrats, NFL fans. You get Bears-Saints every season, but you get more playoff football, so woohoo, everyone wins, I guess. He doesn't get the ball. He goes out there every fifth play, runs a route, doesn't get targeted, returns to the sideline, lather, rinse, repeat. Under. I'm so tired of the text line. I'm already angry the text line's back. Josh Gordon's the wrinkle. Playoff Josh. Shut up. He's not good.
Why are you so angry? Why are you so angry about Josh Gordon? That is the last time we will talk about Josh Gordon this postseason. Until he is active, which he is not active, at least he was not in the last game, to our understanding, he was a healthy DMP. It's over. We will not discuss him anymore. Rob, is that okay with you? Is there a reason for us to talk about Josh Gordon moving forward, or are you under the same belief that I'm under, that it's over? We don't got to talk about him anymore.
I am happy to say it's over and we don't have to talk about him anymore because it's better for my blood pressure and my happiness. He's not that good. He never was that good this season. Maybe after a year of offseason and really working and honing his craft, he'll become a guy, a DeMarcus Robinson. It's not happening in the next 3 games. The Chiefs play 3 more. So I'm happy to never speak of him again on this show.
The moment you start getting healthy DMPs, we're done. We don't spend a lot of time talking about Colin Saunders on this show. He gets a lot of healthy DMPs. That's where Josh Gordon is now at this point. I'm done. So, Rob, you were right on Josh Gordon. He's not the playoff wrinkle. This is the most they're going to get out of him for this season. We can reconvene and have this conversation around March, when the league year starts, and we'll see if they bring him back in free agency. I still think it was a worthwhile gamble. It was a no-risk, low-reward kind of move. They made the move. They got him a touchdown. I forgot what week that was. They ran the little slant play to him. Congratulations. Today is the last day we'll talk about Josh Gordon this postseason. We got a lot of stuff planned this week to get you ready for Chiefs and Bills. We'll let you know more starting tomorrow. We'll be back. Chiefs Kingdom up next. Mitch Holtis, Mitch Schwartz, two of my favorite Mitches in one room.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.